In today's text, Jesus gives us several short parables that help us see the kingdom of heaven from different angles. Jesus doesn't describe the kingdom as loud, polished, or easy to measure. He compares it to a mustard seed, yeast hidden in flour, treasure buried in a field, a pearl worth everything, a net full of fish, and a teacher bringing out treasures both old and new. Each image is simple, but together they show us a kingdom that may begin quietly, remain hidden for a time, and still transform everything it touches. These parables come after Jesus has been describing different kinds of soil and the mixed response people give to God's word. Some receive the message, others resist it. Some misunderstand it. And into that setting, Jesus teaches his disciples not to judge the kingdom by appearance alone. Small doesn't mean weak. Hidden doesn't mean absent. Slow doesn't mean powerless. The kingdom works according to God's wisdom, not the world's need for spectacle. The mustard seed reminds us that God often begins with what people overlook. The yeast reminds us that God's reign can work quietly beneath the surface until the whole life is changed. The treasure and pearl show that the kingdom is worth more than anything else we might cling to. The net reminds us that final judgment belongs to God, not to us. The teacher trained for the kingdom shows that disciples learn to treasure both the old promises of God and the new work God is doing in Christ. The good news is that Jesus is inviting us to trust the way God's power often works. Grace may start quietly. Faith may grow slowly. The kingdom may be hidden in ordinary mercy, forgiveness, patience, worship, and service. But what belongs to God does not stay barren. The kingdom may look small or hidden, but it carries the power to transform everything. Listen as I read, or read along with me in Matthew 13, 31 through 33. Then I'm going to drop down to 44 through 52. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, and a woman took and mixed it into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Now skip down to 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasures as well as old. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, most of us have learned to notice big things. We notice big crowds, big buildings, big announcements, big personalities, and big problems. Small things are easy to miss. A seed in the palm of your hand doesn't look like much. A little yeast worked into dough disappears almost immediately. A treasure under a field looks like plain dirt to anyone passing. A pearl may be small enough to hold, but if it's real, it can change what a person values. Jesus uses those images to teach us about the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't point to a palace or an army. He doesn't describe a movement that wins attention by force. He points to a mustard seed, yeast, treasure, a pearl, net, and a householder bringing out what is old and new. God's kingdom does not always arrive in the way people expect it to. That matters because the people listening to Jesus knew what it was like to feel small. They lived under Roman power. They paid taxes to an empire that didn't care about their hopes. Many were poor, ordinary, overlooked, and tired. They were waiting for God to act, but they expected God's actions to look unmistakably powerful. They wanted the kind of kingdom no one could ignore. Then Jesus says the kingdom is like a tiny seed. That may have sounded almost disappointing. A seed? Rome's not going to be scared of a seed. A seed doesn't impress religious leaders. A seed doesn't look like deliverance. But Jesus is asking them to look deeper. The size of the beginning does not tell the whole story. What matters is the life hidden inside it. And that's so often how grace works. God plants something small, and at first it doesn't look like enough. A word of forgiveness, an act of obedience, a child learning to pray, a church choosing to love its neighborhood, a tired believer opening scripture again, a grieving person showing up for worship. None of that may look life-changing in the moment, but kingdom life is in it. The mustard seed teaches us not to despise small beginnings. You know, we live in a world that wants instant proof and visible success. If something can't be counted, posted, measured, or advertised, we may think it doesn't really matter. But Jesus says the kingdom can begin small and still grow into shelter. What starts as a seed can become a place where others find rest. And then Jesus gives us another image. The kingdom is like yeast worked in the flour until all of it is affected. Yeast does not transform dough by sitting on the surface. It works from within. It disappears, but it's not gone. It changes the whole loaf quietly, steadily, and completely. This is a word so many of us need. We may wonder whether God is really working when we can't see dramatic change. We pray for people and see only small movement. We serve faithfully and wonder if it matters. We ask God to change us, and then we notice the same old impatience, fear, and struggle. But not every holy work is loud. Some of the Spirit's deepest work happens beneath the surface. The kingdom transforms from the inside out. It changes what we trust. It changes how we speak, spend, forgive, and treat people with no power to repay us. It changes a home, a church, and a community, not always by spectacle, but by steady grace. Yeast doesn't need applause to do its work, and neither does the kingdom. Then Jesus turns from growth to value. A man finds a hidden treasure in a field. A merchant finds one pearl of great worth. Both discover something so valuable that everything else is rearranged around it. They aren't acting out of misery. They have found joy. They have seen what matters most. That's important because people sometimes think discipleship is only about what we give up. Yes, sacrifice is real. Following Jesus may cost pride, comfort, control, resentment, and the illusion that we belong to ourselves. But Jesus shows that the kingdom is not loss for the sake of loss. It is joy that makes everything look differently. When someone truly sees the worth of the kingdom, lesser treasures lose their grip. The approval we chase doesn't shine the same way. The bitterness we protected begins to feel too costly. The fear we obeyed starts to look like a poor master. The things we thought would save us cannot compare with the grace of God in Christ. The man in the field and the merchant searching for pearls reminds us that the kingdom is worth our whole selves. Not part of us, not Sunday only, not the leftovers after worry, ambition, and comfort have taken their share. The kingdom of heaven is treasure enough to reorder a life. But Jesus also speaks of a net that gathers all kinds of fish. And this reminds us that the kingdom has a future, and God will sort what only God can sort. This matters because we are often tempted to grab the net ourselves. As we've been talking about lately, we want to decide who's in and who's out, who's useful and who is not, who is worthy and who is beyond hope. Jesus calls us to faithfulness, not final judgment. The net is wide. The invitation is real. The kingdom is being cast into the world with mercy. Our work is to follow Jesus, bear witness, love our neighbors, tell the truth, practice mercy, and trust God with the final sorting. We can take sin seriously without acting like we are God. Then Jesus speaks of a teacher trained for the kingdom who brings out treasures old and new. What a beautiful picture of discipleship. The kingdom does not throw away all that God has already spoken. It fulfills it. The old promises, the law, the prophets, and the faithfulness of God across generations still matter. But in Jesus, something has come near. The disciples are learning to see the old story in the light of Christ. And that is still our work. We carry the treasures of Scripture, tradition, worship, prayer, and the faith handed down to us. We also listen for where the living Christ is calling us now. A faithful church doesn't cling to the old because it is afraid, and it does not chase the new because it is bored. It brings out treasures, old and new, in service to the kingdom. So where does this leave us? It leaves us looking again at what we may have overlooked. The kingdom may be at work in small things that we have dismissed. a seed of faith in a child, a quiet reconciliation, a prayer whispered by someone who almost quit praying, a church meal served with love, a visit made, a hand held, a wrong confessed, a burden shared. These may not look large, but the kingdom is not measured by appearance alone. It also leaves us asking what treasure has our hearts. If the kingdom is worth everything, then something in us must be willing to let go. We can't hold the treasure of Christ with one hand and cling forever to every lesser thing with the other. Grace is free, but it is not cheap. It comes to claim and heal the whole life. God is patient with small beginnings and faithful in hidden places. Jesus doesn't shame the seed for being small or the yeast for being unseen. It teaches us to trust the power of God at work. The kingdom may look small or hidden, but it carries the power to transform everything. So don't despise the small, faithful thing God is asking of you. Do not assume hidden work is wasted work. Don't trade the treasure of Christ for what only shines for a moment. Let the kingdom take root. Let it work through the whole loaf. Let it reorder what you value. Let it teach you joy, humility, patience, and hope. May we become people who trust small seeds, cherish hidden treasure, and live as witnesses to the kingdom that is already at work among us. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us the kingdom in seeds, yeast, treasure, pearls, nets, and faithful teaching. Help us to leave this place with eyes open to your quiet work. Give us patience with small beginnings, courage to seek the treasure of your kingdom, and faith to trust what you are growing even when we can't see the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.